It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champions Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
All right, everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. We want to thank our sponsors, 11 Alive, of course, 365 Game Day, Cable East, and of course, Champions, where we record the show each week. Be sure to come by Champions, just like all the Georgia football players do, and get that great fried chicken.
In Athens.
For those of you who are listening to the podcast while you drive home from work or you work out, there's a little plaque here in front of us that says that Champions Chicken has been named the best fried chicken in Athens, and they've won this award multiple times.
I was going to say, three times in a row. They've only been here 3 years.
I believe it's,
truly undefeated.
It's a clean sweep every year they've been here.
Basically, they're having the success in Athens that everybody wants Kirby Smart to have.
Oh, jeez.
Well, no, they're having the success he's having on the recruiting trail.
There you go. I like that.
Fire me, Kirby. Not that he could, but I mean, this is a guy that, don't kick me out of practice, Kirby.
Well, one thing I know I touched on before we got recording, and for those listening, big week for Georgia recruiting in terms of we've had 7 days since you guys recorded last week with Jim Donnan, and just an incredible podcast. If you haven't listened to that one, make sure you go back and listen to
that. We really should
just
give him the podcast.
I think so, too.
I'm going to just put on a Jim Donnan suit and come do this by myself.
Gelardos.
just randomly say it, yeah. And if you don't know the inside joke for Gelardos, you're going to have to go back and watch last week's podcast. But 7 days since we last recorded and 4 commits. One in the 2017 class, one in the 2018 class, and 2 in the 2019 class.
How do you pull that off, Kirby Smart? Explain that to me.
3 years.
Yeah, that's a pretty impressive feat. You gotta give the guys some credit for that.
Take them chronologically.
Okay, so chronologically, last Wednesday night, you get news. I guess it broke on Thursday afternoon.
Yep.
But it was last Wednesday night that Marist tight end.
That we knew.
Yeah, that we knew. Marist tight end John Fitzpatrick, a 4-star, drove up from Atlanta, Georgia, brought his parents with him, and told the staff in person, hey, I'm going to be a Bulldog. Huge pull, I think. We'll touch on that in just a second on why. On Saturday, you got news that 2019 Blessed Trinity linebacker J.D. Bertrand, a 4-star in the 2019 class, also joined the fold.
Yep.
Sunday brought news that Dominic Blalock, who is right on that 4 or 5 star cusp, he's a 4 now. Easily, not hard to see him break
once they
through
grow that 5 star.
Yeah,
ranking,
once they grow that a little.
Well, anybody that gets 8 or 9, 10 offers before they've stepped foot in high school,
not bad.
This is a guy that Georgia, Alabama, LSU, all these
sign.
Everybody offered him as an 8th grader.
How old's your son?
13.
What grade?
He'll be in 8th grade in 2 weeks.
Hey, so, yeah.
Step it up, buddy.
It's time. It's time, Roddy.
Time to start earning your keep, Ollie.
Yeah. I mean, what are we
anybody
doing here?
Anybody need a 135-pound center?
Hey, he's projecting to be a little bigger. Look at Pops.
And then, so you get Dominic Blalock on Sunday, and then news comes down today, just before actually we got on here, I guess, probably 5-6 hours back. A really interesting kind of influx situation. We're not totally sure of all the details. Sounds like more could happen. But the name that you need to know is, it's Akil Crumpton.
Good, yes.
Akil Crumpton. Yeah. And I keep getting it confused because somebody on the board wrote Compton. And then they wrote City of Crumpton.
He's in Los Angeles right now, Community College.
It's all over the board. Originally from Pennsylvania, though. Originally from the Philly area, Philadelphia Catholic. Like he attended for high school. So really just a wild set of days. I guess it makes most sense probably to tackle these chronologically.
That's the only way to do it. But remember, throw in there, though, this past weekend, while all this was going on, you had one of the biggest recruiting weekends that we've seen at Georgia.
The proverbial dog night, no longer dog night.
Now it's a cookout, buying Sonny's barbecue.
It's been my favorite title so far. Yes. You know, people are like, what are we calling this weekend? What are we calling it? Georgia's not calling it anything officially. The Kirby Q seems to be what the vault and the vent at UGASports.com have latched onto. I love that. I think it's tremendous. Let's go with
run
that.
Run with it. Absolutely.
So do you want to go with – I don't know what chronological
But we'll
means.
Hold off on – because granted, we know that there – news happened at the barbecue.
Sure.
The guys were together. Some big names were there. But let's hold off on those because I'm sure we'll have a lot of questions about them. Let's do a quick breakdown on the new – the guys who are going to be Georgia Bulldogs if they stick with their commitments.
Sure.
So why was John Fitzpatrick a big deal? I mean, he's kind of a – he's
a big deal because
he's 6'7". You know. But other than that, you know, here's a guy that you expect to catch passes, but he plays in a high school offense that doesn't throw the ball.
Right, correct. Yeah. He's in that triple option at Marist, and that was one of the reasons that I think Georgia coaches and really coaches across the nation kind of pulled back on offering this kid early on. He clearly had the size. He's clearly got the speed. You know, he's a guy who plays soccer, which I thought was very interesting. I joked with him.
Atkins played soccer.
I did not know that.
Yes. That's where I met Coach Rumpf, Chris Rumpf. We were both at Thompson High School. Watching John Atkins play soccer.
I would have bet $500
starting
you would never told
tackle.
Me that sentence.
I gave Fitzpatrick a little bit of grief because he's got the frat swoop already. I told him he looked like a lacrosse bro. I was like, you play lacrosse?
He looks like
there?
A politician.
And he does. Oh, my God. It doesn't he?
He goes to Marist. I mean, we're kind of putting
He's on that track.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he's a candidate.
The Arthur Lynch track.
And he's a tight end.
Anyway, we're totally off topic. Four-star guy, though, really blew my mind what he was able to do at Rivals Camp Atlanta. I know he did yours too that day. Ended up winning wide receiver, tight end, MVP that day, and really just caught the attention of everyone. And what was great about it, you know, sometimes you see these big tight ends and it's about how powerful they are. These smaller DBs have trouble covering them or getting on top of them it's more about them being able to wrestle a ball away.
Dude, yeah, like Isaac Nauta did.
Right, exactly. John Fitzpatrick was just breaking dudes' ankles. And if you go over, I got a video on Twitter. You can search it. I think I tagged him in it. But he would just make cuts where guys literally fell down.
Yeah.
And you don't see that a lot out of a tight end, especially a guy of that size. Now, in addition to that, I mean, obviously, great pass catcher. We saw that day. Was explosive, great route runner, tremendous hands. The thing that I love most about him is the fact that he comes from the triple option offense. You've got to love a guy who's that pre-programmed in blocking, has to be that solid in his blocking, and then, you know, he gets out and he says, hey, I can do a little bit more than that as well.
Well, but here's my fear. I mean, the guy's 135 pounds wet. He is skinny.
He is
very skinny.
And so. I did write, that's the main concern that I had with John watching him is, and it's really the only concern I've got. He's a guy who has to bulk up, and I think he will. You know, being out here, conditioning for soccer, football, going back and forth between those two things, you know, he's going to put on, take off weight. It's going to happen. So, once he's in collegiate strength and training, I got no problems, thinking that he's going to hit his marks and getting where he wants to be and where coaches want him to be. So I love the pickup for Georgia.
I think one thing with Fitzpatrick, a lot of people complain about spring camps and it's shorts and T-shirts. This is the perfect example of a guy being able to showcase his talent. And then, you know, kind of step to that next level.
Yeah, because if you only watch his game film, all you see is him blocking. You're not seeing a lot. Well, that brings up the perfect point. I think he had 40 offers before Georgia offered him.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, 40 other schools around the country said, oh, we want this guy. Georgia's holding off. And what did Georgia say? We don't know if you can catch.
Yep.
So all of a sudden he comes to the Rivals camp, wins MVP over, I think, who do we have there?
Everybody
Van,
won a name.
Kyrus Jackson, five-star Caden Hazelwood.
No, Blaylock wasn't there. He's injured.
A number of
Kyrus Jackson was there.
Yeah.
and some excellent defensive backs. I mean, you're talking about Chris Smith was covering him. Richard Gibbonor was playing that day and covering some guys.
To be fair, a lot of linebackers lined up
on him and
felt bad later.
Yeah, they were going for that easy rep. They were going for the easy rep.
Yeah, I don't want to cover these fast running backs. I'm going to take that big, goofy-looking white tight end. I think I can cover him. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh. He's wide open in the end zone. So.
I think that he was Georgia in this class. The idea after skipping or passing on tight end last year, you bring in Isaac Nauta, Charlie Warner for your 16 class. 17, you choose to go no guys. Now you got some class separation, so you knew you needed some guys. Fitzpatrick absolutely fits the mold. He was one of the guys that we had slotted there for quite a while. You know, once he got the offer. it was really between the Bulldogs and UCLA, and I know a lot of people probably think that that's strange, given that the kid's in Atlanta. He's lived all over the country, though, yeah. And his sister actually goes to school out in Los Angeles, and so that was a very appealing pull for him. But, you know, in the end, I think the opportunity for him to stick close to home, make those connections, and be able to play in front of his friends and family, it just kind of won out for him.
And that's why I drove
up. Huge get.
So we can. Are you want to talk about Fitzpatrick?
No. I was going to say, well, we know a lot about him, but I don't think very many people know a lot about J.D. Bertrand.
Yeah, correct. That's true. Now, Bertrand came on Saturday, and again, you know, we might have known it was going to happen. Who knows? Well, but we had a story ready to publish.
We may have had a story with quotes ready to go.
But
I don't
feel like we have a Bertrand lot of is a kid. Bertrand is a guy that I think is a great pickup at this stage in his game, because he's already got some pretty prototypical inside linebacker size. I mean, you know, 6'1", 215, 220 right now as it stands. Very well put together. So, you know, even if he remains at that size, that's perfect for what you want. If he gets bigger, all the better. You know what I mean? And so, you know, he's been a guy who has seemed like a Georgia lean, I think, for most of his recruitment. I think most people have assumed as soon as he picked up that offer that it was just a matter of when, not if, he was going to end up being a Bulldog. One of the great things about Bertrand outside of his game, which I'll touch on here in just a second, is also, though, his connections. And he's very tight with Dominic Blaylock. He's very tight with Rylan Goede. I believe I'm saying that right. At Kennesaw Mountain, but excuse me if I'm not, Rylan. You know, he's got pull with these guys. That 2019 class is tight. You know, Kenyatta Watson has put together that true 19 program. These guys are going to be able to spend a lot of time together at the Rising Seniors program. They're going to get to spend time together at all these junior camps. And they're already really, really close. And there's a lot of talent in state next year. So for Bertrand to be able to kind of work on that on Georgia's behalf, huge. But outside of that, great hard-nosed linebacker, a guy who will just hit you in the mouth and keep coming back
for
more. He just
looks tough. I mean, I know it's not fair. Bear with us, Facebook friends, and those watching us on 11 Live, listening to us here in Champions. I know it sounds silly for – I've been doing this 20-something years to go, well, this guy looks this way. No, I mean, you get a certain aura around people, you know. It's, when you got around Tavares King, you just knew that he was a happy, excited guy who's going to make big plays. You know, you knew that Chris Conley was special. You know, you knew that AJ Green was different. You know that Richard LeCount, you meet him for 5 minutes, you know that he's. When you get around Bertrand, you look at him, it's like, man, this is another Charlie Warner type.
Yep.
Kind of old school, you know, just. He looks like he should be carrying a lunch pail and a photo in the Depression, you know. Because
you put a coal miner hat on,
exactly.
You put a hard hat
he's
on,
going to work.
No, he does.
He's all
does.
Planes and angles, and he looks tough as nails.
He's a rising junior now. Yeah. The kid would be, you would have no way to tell if he was sitting in, stat 101 over here on campus rocking his Sperry's and my outfit. You know,
it would look better.
No question about that. But he would blend in seamlessly in college today. And, you know, that's a tribute to both to, his the way he carries
his
himself,
development, yeah.
But also, the way he's built. And like I said, there's no downside size-wise. It can only get better.
Exactly.
So, a guy that, like I said, though, those willing strikers, those guys that will come up and just hit you in the mouth, hey, you got to love
him. It works for Roquan Smith. You know.
It's okay for him, yeah.
And you said that he's good friends with Dominic Blaylock.
Yes.
Dominic Blaylock. Now, let's kind of give people – I don't want to get too much inside baseball, but we heard the night before that Dominic Blaylock was supposed to commit to Georgia, and then we were told that morning that it wasn't going to happen, and then sure enough – hey, guess what? He did commit. So, big news for Georgia. They pick up a top wide receiver, already having the number one, in my opinion, wide receiver in the entire country.
Oh, by far.
Only five-star wide receiver on Rivals.com for the class of 2019.
One of the only five stars in the country, not just receiver.
So, you're looking at 2019 guys. You already have Jaden Hazelwood on there, and we've raved about him on here. Mm-hmm. And now you pick up Dominic Blaylock, again, a guy who received all these offers before he even stepped foot, in Walton. Before he stepped foot in high school, he had, I think it was 10. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I believe so. I believe that sounds
right. I know it was
between 8 and 10, yeah.
No, but I thought it might have been 10. Because once he got the Georgia offer, I stopped paying attention to who else was offering him, because now he's on our radar. And when I interviewed him, this is a kid that does not like to be interviewed.
No.
Now, granted, I'm a horrible interviewer, and nobody wants to talk to me anyway. But this is a kid who doesn't like the limelight, who doesn't like all the attention. You know, he's not.
Well, you know, he kind of grew up around a little bit
well,
of it.
Yeah, and people say, oh, well, Blaylock, that sounds familiar. Is that Mookie's boy? It is Mookie's boy, you know, but we're not going to harp on that because he's his own man.
Yeah, and, very much so.
But again, yes, he does come from a very, well, I think Mookie Blaylock played 15 years.
He's a bad dude.
I mean, you know.
That Afro man?
He was in there in the NBA for a long time. So the kid comes by his athletic prowess, honestly, you know, and his mother and stepfather have done a wonderful job raising him. He's a great young man. Looks like a great family, great manners, great work ethic. In other words, he's not going, well, my dad's Mookie. I mean, he never mentions
it.
Oh,
no. You know? He doesn't. No. He, no, he doesn't bring it up at all.
You'd really have
when he could. I mean, if he walked around with a chip on his shoulder, you know, going, hey, my dad's a 15-year NBA.
Sure, sure.
Well, of course. But no, he never brings it up. Again, he doesn't like all the limelight and stuff like that. He wants to make a name for himself. And sure enough, he basically tweets it out, commit. We might not get another story from him unless we run into him personally. I mean, he just doesn't want to do all the kind of like Charlie Warren. Didn't want to have anything to do with that.
Blaylock's been a friend of J.D. Bertrand's. I know I saw a picture. They've continued to put pictures on Twitter. They are friends 4 or 5 years old. They've been friends for a really long time. And I think that's just another thing with Blaylock. I think they both knew they wanted to go to Georgia. That he knew Bertrand committing on Saturday and him committing on Sunday. He could kind of shy away. It wouldn't be all the limelight on him, and that's just kind of how he is. I want to give you a quick rundown before we go to 2017 recruiting and the guy that Georgia got today. They've got 6 total commits in the class of 2019. 4 of them are 5-stars. 4 of them is 4-stars. 1's a 5-star, and 1's a high 3-star. 2019 recruiting for Georgia is already taking off, and they've got a lot of big-name guys that are going to be recruiting for them in 2019.
Well, if they can hold on to them.
And you have to take into account as well, I know that you mentioned the numbers. To me, the guy that we don't hear a lot about is the first guy, Luke Griffin.
Yeah.
He's the 3-star. But the kid's tucked away up there in Chatsworth. You know, it's not like he's on this Atlanta camp scene. He's not one of these guys who's been out. Honestly, I haven't seen the kid since the day he got the offer and committed, which was last summer,
to
Sam
Pittman
at the 7-on-7.
He might be 6'10 now. I
was just saying, I don't think we've got an updated weight on him. He's 6'5", 285 in the system. I would not be surprised at all if he's over 300.
He's a kid who could even, you know, see his stock continue to rise. And the thing I love about Dominic is obviously tremendous playmaker. The Chad Simmons, the word hit the word on the head. Smooth, a kid who gets out there and just makes it look easy.
He's deceptively fast too, because when you watch the film, you're like, this kid doesn't move quickly.
Yeah,
but then you notice, well, he did catch it 12 yards down the field on that timing route. You know.
Right.
And then he turned upfield, and it was a 24-yard gain. In other words, it looked like he should have been brought down,
Correct. But
you see the safety in pursuit because he already beat the cornerback. And, you know, I was watching the film, and you guys know I'm not an analyst by any means, but I'm like, he doesn't look that fast, but he's picking up 24, 34, 44 yards at a pop. And I'm like, okay. All right, well, I'm wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Again, just because you're watching Huddle doesn't mean it's right.
Exactly, exactly. And the thing about it, too, with Blaylock, the thing I love about him in this 2019 class is that he's going to be right there alongside Jaden, and that's the plan. In my opinion, 2 yin and yang personalities. And I'm not saying that Hazelwood loves the spotlight, but, man.
But he does.
But he will trash talk you. I mean, he will tell you you suck in a second. I mean, he will.
Well, I asked him that. I said, "What you like trash talk?" Yeah, I like trash talk. What do you say? I just say they suck.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, how do you say it? I say they suck. I tell them repeatedly.
Dominic's not going to do any of that. He's not going to jaw. He's just going to go out there and play. Jaden's that he's the energy guy. He's the high energy guy of the two. But talk about putting them out there together. That's really nasty because Dominic's going to be able to play that slot beautifully, and then you're going to be able to throw 6'3" Jaden Hazelwood out there on the side and just let him go tear down the field.
Not going to be too bad, but, you know, talking about trying to avoid the limelight, the first we heard, now, like I said, we knew that Dominic was going to commit, but we were told it was going to be a silent commit for like a few weeks.
Sure.
So I think he goes up, talks to Kirby Smart, commits. I want it to be silent because I don't want, you know, to be hassled and all that stuff. All of a sudden, the news comes out. I think Kirby said, no, you need to go public.
Yeah.
I wonder why. Could you think of anything that happened over this weekend that might have said, you know, been a good idea for Dominic Blaylock to go public so that I don't know, maybe a visiting quarterback and think that, you know, might see that he will be throwing to maybe the number one and number possibly number two, number three wide receivers in the class coming up behind his.
Oh, was it Justin Fields?
Yeah, he might have been in town.
You know, boy. And he sure was, wasn't he?
Okay. Well, there you go. So, I mean,
it's
smart marketing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean,
smart marketing.
I understand it. I understand it on the – I understand it also from the sense of Kirby wanting to, you know, generate more buzz out of the weekend. I think one of the concerns a lot of people had was that there were no 18 commits that came
out of this. It happens every year.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that – bringing in two guys of that caliber, two guys who have the chance to be, you know, marquee names in this 2019 class, what's blowing my mind about that, if you look at it, they're almost recruiting them, like, step for step. It's like we get it's 18 commit, get a 19. Get a 18, get a 19. They may fill both of these classes up and just take next year off to, evaluate dudes or something.
Remember, they're also offering 2020 guys.
Yeah, I know.
2021 guys.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's already coming.
So.
No. Speaking of those.
No, I mean, I know you're being facetious about that,
absolutely.
But the point being, you know, we might have a slow summer next year. Think about it, because they could have.
They've already got six committed for 2019.
You're going to curse us. Don't say that. Four of them. Damn you, man.
You can take a vacation in which nothing happens.
Four of them decommit while Jake's on vacation.
Should be noted that three of these commits have happened since Trent Smallwood went on vacation. I believe, actually, all four. Trent left last Wednesday,
yep.
and then Fitzpatrick.
And he said he expected quite a few commits while he was gone.
So you guys make sure to hit Trent up on Twitter and tell him to stay at the beach. tell him you don't need him to come back.
Not only that, though, guys, we talked about 2018 and 2019. 2017, we thought we were done. We thought that class was done.
Well, no, we were still worried about.
Well, we were still worried about a couple. Yeah, but we didn't think they were going to be adding any more names.
Yeah, I know a lot of people. We're getting this question a lot, so let's go ahead and talk about those qualifiers. Georgia's still waiting on Devontae Wyatt and Robert Beal, their situations to kind of to get resolved, their academic situations, whatever those may be, you know, to kind of clear themselves up in anticipation of joining the team this fall. Whether or not that's going to happen, hey, it remains to be seen. Kirby Smart has said at every turn, he's optimistic, he's hopeful, he wants to see it happen. You know, I think that...
And we'll get to ask him about it again tomorrow and see if there's been any change. But you got to remember, I think it was Beal's mother. Didn't she tell us that he was supposed to be in classes in July?
Was that? I thought that was Natori Johnson's mother. Or that was June. She said June. I don't recall. No. I don't recall that, to be honest.
I thought Trent had got an update with his mom saying that he was going to be on campus and everything was going to be taken care of by July. So,
well, you know, it's
either way. He's not in Athens.
But that's my point. So, I think that there have been, I don't say additional setbacks, but the timeline has changed multiple times.
Sure.
So, but the way it stood from SEC Media Days, Kirby said, you know, we're still working to get those guys in. We expect them at any day, which to me sounds like they're looking at a clearinghouse issue. You know, they've probably appealed a class here or tried to say, you know, like with Beal, the stuff that went on at IMG, well, that counts, that class, English class counts as this English class in Georgia high school because you got to have a certain number of credits. You got to have this.
Beal was at three different high schools his senior year, to throw that out
so
there.
So that gets a little complicated and, you know, maybe – they're waiting on an SAT score to come back or an ACT score to come back or something like that. So that's what we're looking at with Wyatt and Beal. And that's in other words, you could get that test score any day or you could get a ruling from the clearinghouse at any day and those guys are cleared and they're here.
Yeah.
Or they're off to JUCO. You know, you don't know one way or the other. So I really think that we're kind of stuck in limbo waiting.
If I'm not mistaken, they've got right up until, I think, the end of the drop ad period at Georgia.
Correct.
So it's like the last, you know, it's like mid-August even. You know, there's a lot of time.
Yeah, I think Brandon Smith came in on like the first day of classes or something like that.
You have a week and a half for ad drop, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can be even longer than when school actually starts. They can still be there. So,
but to the point is, you know, we thought that the new guy, you know, Crumpton.
We should probably
just go with Akil.
Yeah. Yeah.
We thought that he might be taking one of their spots.
Correct.
You know, but apparently that's not the case.
Well, and we should probably touch on the fact, so if you haven't been paying attention to Twitter or UGASports.com today, which why haven't you?
Bastards.
Been under a rock.
Akil Crumpton 5'9". I think he goes about a buck 60.
Maybe.
He's at Los Angeles Valley College.
Community college.
No, I checked online. I think it's just college. Is it community?
I think it's CC.
Okay. I thought there was just one C.
Yeah.
Anyway, tweets out, hey, I'm going to be a Bulldog. Hashtag 12 days.
Like,
I'm committed. He's got the plane emoji. It looks like he's, you know, it. So, of course.
Sure.
We all begin the frenzy. I wish you, one day we should have an inside thing where you watch us try to, like, do this after a commitment.
Well, I said we could always actually charge admission to get into the UGA Sports group me.
Oh, boy.
You know, the group Twitter. You'd love that, the group messaging.
He tweets the news out. We begin making calls. We end up catching up with both his head coach, Matt White, and also his recruiting coordinator,
yeah.
CJ. I'm forgetting the last name.
Started with a C, right?
It did start with a C.
CJC.
CJC. So
Cutcliffe.
I spoke to both of those guys. Claiborne.
Claiborne.
All right. There you go.
I spoke to both of those guys, and basically kind of got, you know, some interesting takes on all of this. Claiborne's take was that Georgia is taking this kid to be a blue shirt. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the blue shirt policy,
yeah, we had
that, like,
99.9% of us don't understand.
Who knew existed, and now that's just a thing. Apparently, it's always been on the NCAA rule books, but no one's ever used it. Essentially, it will allow a kid to compete this year while counting their scholarship toward the next class, the following class. So Crumpton's scholarship.
He's going to be on 2018.
Will be on 2018.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. He's a 2-for-2 qualifier, as far as we're aware.
What does that mean?
2-for-2 basically means he's got 2 years of eligibility to play 2 years. It doesn't mean, you know, he's got to get his football in and get out.
Can't have a red shirt year.
Right. There's no red shirts left.
Sorry, run out.
The blue shirt seems to be the route that Georgia is going to take with this kid. If that sounds somewhat familiar to you, they actually have done it very recently. I guess it was back in spring with kicker/punter David Marvin, another transfer. I want to say, was he the kid from Wofford?
They got like 4 kickers at the time. There was one from up north. And
yeah, there's the graduate transfer.
Kid was from Columbia.
Correct.
I think. Yeah.
So this is the other one
was
from Wofford.
The kid from Wofford. So this guy comes in. You know, he's in the same boat. His scholarship's going to count forward a year. But both of those guys, conceivably, will be able to see them. Now, I will preface this by saying, when I talked to Coach White after he spoke with Anthony Dasher today and gave a great update, that's free over at UGASports.com. But when I spoke to him via Twitter afterward, he said, the grade just posted. This could go several different ways. We'll have more for you at the end of the week. So, Crumpton.
He's committed, but that doesn't mean he's a take.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I think that there's, again, you want to talk about clearinghouse issues, talking about, you know, finding there was another class I know that Georgia required that these colleges were wanting to, him to take that he just finished up. So, that's been something that's been a factor. You've just got to make sure that all the.
So, why exactly, Jake, for those watching, why exactly would Georgia do the blue shirt for Crumpton? What is the reasoning behind that for those? Now, they understand what blue shirting is, but why is Georgia maybe taking that route?
Well, it's wholly beneficial to them. I mean, there's no downside to them. To count him against 2017, I think, would have almost set him apart as a ineligible for the blue shirt. And what I mean by that is if he had been recruited prior to this, then he's not eligible for a blue shirt. He can't take one. The blue shirt kicks in for guys who are not traditionally
have
recruited.
Have never stepped on campus.
Right. They haven't been to campus. They haven't had visits. They haven't, you know, I mean, they may have swapped a phone call or something, but no hardcore recruiting that you might consider.
Which sounds really weird.
It does. It does. So Georgia, it benefits them by not having that kid in that situation, having him immediately available. And then, you know, honestly, you probably got a spot in 2018. I think that they seem pretty flexible with spots, especially right now.
They might not have one for 2017, so you bring the guy in.
Exactly.
You know, you get that immediate production. He gets to come in under scholarship and not have to sit around on his own dime. So
Now, it should be, and we should note, this kid, like we said, 5'6", 160. What do you?
Well, 5'9".
What do you do with a guy like that? Well, you just lost a guy who's pretty similarly built, and boy, doesn't it look like this guy's going to do the same thing.
I know one thing that we saw, Roddy, and I'll shoot over to you after this, was I know that everybody was looking up stats. He returned 26 kicks and punts for Los Angeles Valley Community College, whatever it is. Six of those were for touchdowns.
I will say, got to throw this one in here real quick. Guy comes from pretty good stock out there at Los Angeles Valley College. My man Dave McMahon just hooked me up with this. Kevin Spacey, Tom Selleck, Brian Cranston, and Michael Richards all count themselves among alums of Los Angeles Valley College. So it's some interesting.
Well, there you go. I mean, he's bound for stardom.
Star-maker.
Hey, yeah. So. Rudy. And Rudy.
Oh, and Rudy. Yeah, oh. Sean Astin. I'm sorry, Rudy.
Yes. Who's also in like a bunch of fantasy movies too.
Yes, that's what. Lord of the Rings. Not sure we watch the same fantasy movies.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Mine usually involves some girl named Nikki and has a safe word.
Mine start around midnight. So,
welcome to UGA Sports Live After Dark, everyone.
Hey.
no, but anyway, yeah, he's. It looks like kick return, punt return role.
Yeah. Think that when I did the math, he averaged 43 yards per kick return.
And what was it, like that's six touchdowns on 16 attempts?
Six touchdowns on 26 attempts, wasn't
26?
It?
Yeah, one of those punt returns was a 95-yarder.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know what type of competition he's facing out there, and I don't know if that'll carry over. But
that is important because it's not – it should be noted, this guy is not a typical – this is not an NC or NJCAA player.
No.
This is not an NIAA or NAIA player.
It's like D5.
This guy is playing in a conference that solely exists among community colleges in California.
California. Yeah.
This guy came to them from Philadelphia, and one of the guys. Actually, when I spoke to Mr. Claiborne earlier, Coach Claiborne told me. He said the thing I love about this kid is he's got that Philly nastiness about it. He's just got. He said kids from Philly. He said the way he described it. He said some kids got that street about them. He said Philly kids don't need it. They're just tough, man. They're just tough people. And he said, I think Georgia fans are going to get a real dose of that this year with this kid, Mark Webb, and DeAndre Swift.
Well, that's what I always say about kids from Alabama, some of the toughest kids I've ever seen. Florida has some of the fastest I've ever seen. Alabama's got the toughest. And Georgia's kind of right between on both, you know. Kind of
the best.
Not as tough, not as fast, but tougher than one and faster than the other.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I think with that you can win.
I think you can look at this two ways, though, from a Georgia perspective on the actual football team. You can look at it in a bad way that, maybe Mecole Hardman and the likes aren't doing what Coach Smart wants at punt return or kick return. Or you can look at it the way that I am, and I think it's a great thing because Coach Kirby Smart is really looking to pinpoint guys. And he's bringing in this guy, I think, solely to return kicks and punt returns.
Yeah.
And he's kind of specializing roles. And when was the last time we saw that to where they were just bringing in a guy? He had 2 years to play, too. Hey, look, man, I don't know if you're ever going to get on the field to catch an actual pass. But you're going to get out there and you're going to return kicks, you're going to return punts for us, and that's going to be your job.
Well, and with Miko making that transition to wide receiver this year, and I do think that Georgia is going to expect him to play some of that slot position with Terry. They're going to work those guys in. You don't want to beat up a wide receiver. I mean, if you got a kid that you can put out there who can do it.
If you got a scholarship available.
And he can kind of take those lumps. Hey, that's all
the better. At the same time, you know, why not let DeAndre Swift return kicks?
Sure.
You know? See what Mark Webb can do. I mean, they got a lot of returns. And again, here's the thing where I hate that we don't get to see practice. People ask us all the time, how does so-and-so look returning punts? How does so-and-so look returning kicks? We never get to see that. And every time last year when they ran Reggie Davis back there, people would groan, oh, my God. Even though he had a pretty good average and sometimes did wonderful things with the ball in his hand, sometimes he mishandled a kick. Sometimes he didn't get it where he wanted it to go. And everyone's like, well, why? And they would name 10 different players who, you know, returned kicks in high school and say, why didn't those guys get a chance to return it? Well, we don't get to see practice, so we don't know how they're doing.
They could have already.
Yeah. Well, you know the coaches try everybody.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got two hands? Get back there.
Yeah. But and then every once in a while, though, you'll ask a guy. I think I asked Jason Stanley after his freshman year. I'm like, how's kick returning going in practice? Because they haven't even let me try it yet.
Yeah.
And it may not have been Jason Sanders, but it was one of the guys I expected. Because we saw the same person taking those jet sweeps. So you know that he had speed, and you know he was a wide receiver practicing that jet sweep because he could get to the corner. Like, well, shoot, let that guy return kicks and see what he could do. But he didn't get a chance in practice. Now, that's something that we didn't know because we never get to watch it.
Right.
So it's kind of a pet peeve of mine that we don't even get to see special teams. But to your point, if you're going to bring in a guy who's 5'9", 160 pounds, you know, and
better be a specialty player.
When you first looked at his Spark scores.
Oh, boy.
A guy that ran a 4.95 40. This is not. This is not exactly.
High school, yeah.
I mean, not exactly a jitterbug.
Now know. It should be. This should be noted. I believe he was a 15. He was out of the class of 15, if I'm not mistaken.
He was.
And you know, I yeah, that's not.
But since his coach said, "Look, we've timed him at a was a
4.49.
4.49.
I think it was 4.49, wasn't it?
No, it was a 4.39 and a 4.41.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, granted, I'm sure that's hand timed, and sometimes they hand time it on a 38 yard dash, not a 40. opening, but just saying there's some crazy times out there. But anyway, he's up where you want to see it. And the first thing you said when we looked up his spark time was like, oh, he's got to be faster than that because of his film. And correct. You watch his film and you got to like it.
Yeah, and he does, you know, he certainly looks like Isaiah McKenzie out there returning kicks. I mean, he's similar build, small guy, but just can get out there and make dudes miss. And it's the thing I really love about this kid, you know, I don't know him or his game from Adam, but the thing that I love about his story is that you're talking about a 15 kid goes across the country to play at L.A. Valley College where he's 5'9", 160 pounds, just out there taking his lumps, taking his beating. You got to love football to do that. I mean, you got to just and you know, I know that people say, well, why weren't other teams interested? You know, he had some smaller offers, Temple, Syracuse, I believe, UC Davis he was committed to at one point. But I love a kid who is that committed to it, that he, hey, man, I'll do it anywhere, anytime, against anybody. I don't care. Yeah. Give me a shot.
Yeah, well, maybe he'll line up in the backfield or you know behind that front line in Athens and return a kick, return a punt, and we'll see. If not, I'm still fine with watching you know Miko Hardman return kicks and punts. I'm good with that.
That will be fun. Yeah. Also, somebody's just for clarification here, Steve Aronica says, "How did that spot become available? Win or Beal not qualifying? That doesn't have anything to that doesn't factor in at all in this particular
not.
Situation." Well, it shouldn't because he counts toward 2018.
Well, again,
it's still kind of TBD on that, isn't it?
Well, that's true.
Well, that's what we're hearing, but until Georgia confirms it, which they won't, because they don't like to let you know stuff like that, it could be a situation where, hey, the Georgia just got news that one of their guys isn't qualifying, he's about to go JUCO, and now they got a spot.
Correct.
You know? And now it should be noted as well that out of the 2017 class, another guy
but
did.
But that's a 2018. Well, no, that would be a 2018 guy anyway, wouldn't it?
Who?
No,
these guys are
still 2017. I'm thinking of the guys for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I think when he commits, he's part of the 2018 class, not 2017. But so
exactly. Yeah.
So it's got to be either one of the two options.
Sure.
Somebody didn't qualify or they're counting him forward. Because I think, I mean, they brought in four or five guys that counted backwards. Four at least.
It was at least four.
Because you had Jeremiah.
From
LeCount, from
D'Angelo,
Marcus Hayes,
and then Hayes was a JUCO.
Yeah,
but I don't know that they had to count him backwards because I
feel like there's one more. I feel like there's one more.
No, I don't think that was it. So, because remember they told the running back out of Texas.
Yeah, right.
Carter, yeah,
you know, hey, we don't have more room for you.
No room at the end for him.
So technically, we're pretty sure you know it's not one of those situations where you can, you know. It has to be going forward.
Shout out my guy, Jeff Fulford here. He took my words to heart on Akil Crumpton. Says, my gosh, we have our Rudy.
And also, Jeff said, is there any familiarity between him and Swift since they're from Philly? I did look it up. He played in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, so downtown,
okay.
West Catholic football. I'm sure that they know of each other. I have a buddy that lives up there, and all those Catholic schools and all those, they all kind of know each other and play each other. So I'm sure they have some familiarity between the two.
Well, we might see a tight end come out from out there.
Ooh, Kyle Pitts.
Possibly. Don't love Georgia's chances there. I will say, after the Fitzpatrick commit, you know, at this point it looks like the move for Georgia is, hey, Luke Ford, we want you. We need you. Son, come play ball for us.
Monty Rice was the other one we were forgetting.
Monty Rice. That's right. That's right.
Hey, thank you, Mitch Strickland, for that, my friend.
Thank you, Mitch. It's tough to recall. The guy recall.
Described as an absolute animal.
We're going. Yeah. I apologize for that. But, you know, when we're bouncing between 17, 18, 19, this kid counts for maybe 17, maybe 18.
Roddy we mentioned 2020 and 2021 yeah, earlier in the
kids
broadcast.
For 20 and 21 guys. Kids that are 8th and 9th graders are getting offers.
A lot of people are asking. We're getting questions.
We're getting a lot of them.
That's what I'm saying. Let's switch to the question.
We might as well dive
see in. See how many we can get.
It's Justin Fields. An update on Justin Fields. Justin Fields, there was actually a very wonderful update from Chad Simmons at the War Room that we put out earlier this week, Sunday afternoon, right after the camp wrapped up. So make sure to go check that out just to kind of give you a broad look at.
Well, let me tell them how to get to it.
Okay, there you go.
All right, so here, commercial time. If you go to UGASports.com and you click on the message boards, you'll see the vent and the vault. The vent is where we talk football all the time. The vault is where we talk recruiting. Click on the vault, and you'll see a little tag that says War Room. Buzz about Georgia. And in that, Chad Simmons, who's been covering recruiting in the state of Georgia forever, had his sources spoke to him about how this weekend went. You know, Georgia had DeAndre Hill in town, Jamari Sawyer.
Josh Van was in town.
Kyrus Jackson, you know. Zamir White was in town. Justin Fields was in town. So all these big name guys are here. Owen Condon, I think, came into town.
Yep.
You know, came in all the way from out in Oklahoma. So all these guys are in town for this big weekend, and everybody wants to know, well, what happened with Justin Fields? Because everyone knows that Matt Corral, the other five-star quarterback, at least for now, is coming to Georgia, and he's looking to make a commitment.
He's 26th.
Yeah. So it's like, they're kind of looking to see if Justin's going to make a commitment. Because here's what we've heard. We hear if Justin picks Georgia, four or five other guys might pop too.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
You know, right after him. And one of them could be another tight end, Luke Ford.
Yeah.
Luke Ford.
Kyrus Jackson's a guy that is giving heavy consideration.
Josh Van's
a guy who's considering that as a possibility. So, you know, with Fields, it's understandable why everybody's
so. So we're not going to tell you what's in the War Room because that is behind the paywall at ugsports.com. It's 27 cents a day, folks. Come on. But we will say that
Like it went well.
It sounds like it went very well, and I think Georgia is in as good a place as they have ever been with Justin Fields. That's not to say he's committing tomorrow.
Sure. Or he will commit to Georgia.
Yeah. Or that he's committed to Georgia. But I don't think there's anything left on the table for Georgia to do. They had their big recruiting weekend. He was there. He had a great time. If you read Chad Simmons' account of it, you'll see he had a fantastic time. And again, it's scuttlebutt. We haven't heard directly from him. He doesn't really want to talk right now. We're not peppering him up. You know, we're not hounding him. We're not standing outside his driveway with a microphone.
Speak for yourself,
Justin. Yeah. Call me, bro. Yeah.
But you know, we're hoping to talk to him and get a rundown of how is you know exactly what it went. And here's the thing: even if we do get him, even if we get Justin sits down with us right here, he's going to say the exact perfect thing. Not give anything away. Very, very bright. He's very well schooled and he works with Cam Newton all the time. He knows how to give an interview without giving anything away. I had him for 15 minutes, a 15-minute interview in Indianapolis. And I tried every dirty journalist trick in the book. You know, rewording questions different ways. You know,
you were hitting him with the jabs. And he was missing them and coming right back.
Yeah, he was just Floyd Mayweather.
He's dancing away from me. I couldn't stick him on anything.
No.
But I mean, he's a fun kid to talk to, and
very intelligent.
Wherever, like how he does it in the pocket. Man.
Yeah, wherever he goes, be it you know FSU, Georgia, Auburn, wherever he winds up, they're going to get a fantastic quarterback and a great young man. If he winds up at Georgia, it's going to do wonders for Georgia's recruiting class,
no doubt.
But I think right now, and we asked him, you know, what about Georgia going to see Trevor Lawrence and not coming to see you, and then right after that, you committing to Penn State? You know, the rumors there. He's like, no, nothing, none of that happened. Well, I still think it stung a little. I do. He can say it didn't, which is the proper thing to say, but
absolutely.
I think it did. So I think Georgia has overcome that. They've shown him that they want him. I think it really comes down to, does he believe that Georgia, who has been a traditional pro-style offense for 16 years at least, will switch and use his talents, use a dual threat. And he points out, the first thing he says is, well, the last time Georgia won an SEC title was with a dual threat quarterback, DJ Shockley. He knows Georgia's history, grew up a Georgia fan. His dad's a Georgia fan. His stepmom wants him to go to Georgia. So I can see why Georgia could get him, but I don't know what else they could do, really.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that he mentioned to me, and we didn't get to touch on this very much last week, so I did want to interject it. As soon as you said it, the light went off for me. I was out at the opening the week prior to.
Right.
I had a chance to speak with Justin. You know, do you think that Georgia's commitment to this is legitimate? Is Georgia trying to fix this offense? You know, are they doing this for you, or is this a conscious move by this staff to make a move toward you know, the more run pass option and truly integrate this into their style of play? He told me when I've been there the last few times, certainly the last time he mentioned. He said, I saw Jacob Eason running run pass option. I saw Jake Fromm running run pass option. They threw Terry Godwin back there, and he was running it. He said, you know, they are showing me that this is something they want to get not just me doing, but across the board.
Well, that does also coincide with something else he told me, which was, I said, look, be honest. Which, I mean, he always is, but he's political. You know?
Correct.
Give me your honest opinion on coming in behind two five-star quarterbacks. Most kids won't do that.
Most,
it would be stupid.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Who would?
It's a bad idea to come in behind two highly.
If you're getting, that's poor advice most of the time.
Yeah, go where they're loaded at your position.
Normally, I would steer you away from that. Yeah. Maybe you need to rethink that.
Yeah, go to FSU. But because, you know, and people have argued. I've seen the FSU fans and Auburn fans say, "Look, he's a much better fit at these schools." Yeah, well, okay, I can kind of see that.
Sure.
But, as you point out, Georgia – and Jim Chaney's coached every offense possible.
Okay? He's probably made up a couple in his head. Yeah, so, forgot them.
So he knows how to switch. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that Mike Bobo wouldn't or Mark Richt wouldn't, you know, or who's the one-hit wonder?
Brian Schottenheimer.
Oh, God.
I'm saying he might know how to coach it, but we didn't see it a whole lot. Point being, Jim Chaney says, hey, I can do that, and I've done it. And I'm showing it to you. And so I asked him, well, you know, Justin, what do you feel about going behind these five stars? And he said, look me square in the eye and goes, well, I can do something they can't.
He said that to me as well.
He says, I can run it. So think about it. He's watching Jacob Eason do it, and he's like, oh, God, I can do better than that.
Yeah.
He's watching Jake Fromm do it, and Fromm's like, hey, he's pretty good, but I'm better. He's watching Terry Godwin do it, and he pointed out every time Terry Godwin does it, they know it's a run.
Yeah.
You know Terry's not going to throw it.
Sure.
And so.
Sure.
He's looking at it going, yeah, if I go to Georgia and they run that RPO, then I'm the guy.
Nakia Hester here says, Fields is great for recruiting. I think Corral's better, but you won't agree with that. You're right.
I will not agree with that. I don't think any of us will.
Now, hey, listen, Matt Corral, great quarterback, a fine young man, connected with those players out there at the opening, and I think made some good headway in establishing himself in there. When it comes to the in-state guys Georgia wants to bring in,
correct.
There is no comparison. It's Justin Fields and Matt Corral.
I think he's better than him at football, and then I think his recruiting ability in the state of Georgia compared to Corral puts him way over the top in terms of who the coaches, I think, really are.
Yeah,
wanting.
But if Corral's going to Auburn or going to FSU, I mean, excuse me, if Fields is going to one of those two, take Corral.
Oh, yes.
Well, hey, you. Take anybody.
Because,
I mean, the first four podcasts that we
correct.
Had,
I was just about to say that.
They can't find a quarterback.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. Guys, we're talking about two stars here.
Well, you did a story where you showed 23 different quarterbacks they had offered and how 18 of them were off the chart or off the boards, and the last ones were left were like athletes, you know.
James Graham. We hadn't heard his name.
By the way,
what's up with James Graham? I know you like him.
You don't know
anything about him.
I was going to point out, though. However, I did a similar story that came out just today. I do encourage you to go
check
it out.
Super cool.
Because a lot of people have been asking about it. They say, where do we go with D line? I think that's really right now, in my opinion, with the way Georgia feels and seems to sit with both Fields and Corral. D-line becomes the big question mark.
Yeah, let's say they get one of those, and all of a sudden, you know, maybe Josh Van commits. Kyrus, by the way, Kyrus Jackson is going to announce on August 19th.
Okay.
Just came out.
He just tweeted that out. So August 19th is the time for him.
We'll be in Peach County.
Yeah. So, and well, there's a lot of players down there, too. So
oh, yeah.
We'll come away from that either with a commitment story or at least updates on three or four other guys to talk about. But so then the question, then we'll talk about every podcast, is what's Georgia going to do with defensive line stuff. And it's funny, you had a whole story about here's all the JUCO defensive linemen that Georgia's offered or talked to. And it wasn't really positive.
No, it wasn't.
You know, Georgia would love to get some JUCO defensive linemen, but they're just not they're not in on them very well. But there's a couple guys they could offer which could change that. And it's funny, the minute you have that story, we have a JUCO kick returner that pops up.
Yeah, that's what threw me off. Yeah. Like,
so we're talking from 6'6", 320 pounders to a 5'9", 150 guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was, you know, I think with Georgia, I told people that, that my point in writing that story was not so much to pump hype, you know, obviously
yeah, well,
from reading.
No, I mean, half our stories are.
You've got to. Yeah, I want you to know these names. These are guys you need to be watching out for.
Well, we don't want another situation where you pop up and go, "Who's Akil Crumpet?"
Right, exactly.
Crumpton.
City of Crumpton.
T and Crumptons. Oh, yeah. You know, it's this.
No, he's a baked good. He's a Crumpet.
It's a situation where. You know, they're going that route, I think, in a lot of cases. And you're seeing that across the board. Look, Alabama's out offering these defensive linemen. The crop this year is not as strong as it has been, and that's just the fact of the matter.
Well, now, Sandage was in town.
Sandage was in town.
So we kept talking about this big weekend. Gentleman out of North Carolina. Sandage was in town with his mom.
Yeah, a gentleman. I like that you use that word because he is a real gentleman. He's a fine young man.
Until he puts a helmet on, then he's an asshole.
Yeah, he is, man. He is. Oh, I would hate to run into him in an alley.
In an alley, he'd be fine. Just between the chalk.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, yeah.
Get him on the field. Yeah.
That's true.
Well, or meet him in a hole. I mean,
yeah, right.
If you're a running back and he's standing there, you just slide.
Yep. Just get out of the way.
Just slide.
He wears the same specs that you do, too.
Yeah, because they're badass.
I wasn't saying anything bad.
I mean, I saw him. He looked good. I'm like, I'm going to get me some Sandage specs.
Yeah. Sandage specs. That's what it is.
His mom was in town. His mom raves about how much she loves Trey Scott. Sandage was talking about how much he likes Georgia. He said he had a great time. But now they're going to South Carolina, where his mom went to school.
Yeah.
So that's going to be tough. And I don't want to say it's coming down to, you know, Georgia, South Carolina, because, I mean, Michigan's in on there. All these schools want to.
Well,
but I think a lot of people have seen the success that Alabama had, and they looked at it and said, what is Alabama doing that nobody else is? They've got one of the greatest offensive line eras that we've ever seen. But even more so, they've had one of the best defensive line dynasties. And people always say, why is it so hard to get offensive linemen? You know you need them. And I keep trying to explain to people, if we go to a camp, you know, say we have a Rivals camp, or a combine, open to anybody, not an invitation camp like the Rivals camp, but we open it up to anybody, the average height and weight of a kid that we will see there will be 5'11", 180 pounds.
I don't even know if it'd be that tall.
Well, I know. I'm just trying to be kind.
I mean, yeah.
So let's say how many – in just the human population, how many guys are 6'6", 300 pounds, and can run like a deer? It very, very few.
Yeah.
Maybe one out of 1,000.
They don't grow on trees, pal.
Right. So, but every school needs them. And every school needs – it's not like a quarterback. You offer a quarterback, you get one, you're done with that class. You offer two tight ends, you get them both, you're done with that class. You need five offensive linemen. You need five defensive tackles, you know. You need a bunch of them. So you're looking for – the least number of available players for the biggest position of need on your team. So right now, when it comes to a kid like Sandage, Michigan, UCLA, USC is doing everything possible to get it. We talk about
there's no commodity like the big guys.
Yeah, we're talking about a recruiting battle over a tight end.
Yeah.
It's nothing like what you see over an offensive lineman.
And the thing is, I say that but because it goes right in with what you say. How many quarterbacks do you need? You know, you can only put one on the field at a time.
Exactly.
I mean, you could conceivably put two, but that would be weird. You're going to need, you need three or four of those big hog mollies on that defensive side of the ball up front every single down.
And those
guys, they get worn out. I mean, they're big.
Go back to the 2012 title game.
If
Georgia had three more, Georgia maybe stops or just slows Alabama down. Georgia wins the SEC title. They go and kill Notre Dame like Alabama did. I mean, that's the difference between winning and losing a title.
Why are you pulling at people's heartstrings?
I'm just saying
that's it
comes down to when people say, well, in other words, and you've seen the question over here that we get it on the live chat every time. What's Georgia doing about offensive linemen recruiting? What are they doing about defensive linemen recruiting? Why is it so hard? And I'm trying to explain to them, you need five of them, and it's the hardest thing to find.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we are gonna pick up questions. Yeah, getting toward the endish here. So
indeed,
Dosta Dog, one of our guys from the board, comes on.
Keith Watson
with Dosta from Valdosta.
Dosta.
Yeah. A great one dog. Here.
He's been around since '97, I believe.
He says, name a player at UGA that you guys had no idea was going to commit and play for UGA. You guys thought for sure this player was committing to another school through all your conversations and recruiting intelligence, but surprised you and went to UGA.
Akil Crumpton.
Good pull.
Who may not actually line up at Georgia, but yeah.
Yeah. The guy that immediately jumped into my mind was, help me out here,
very memorable, huh?
No. He was a
oh boy, he's good.
He got switched in between wide receiver and running back. It was very recent. Shaq.
Sha'Carri Wilson.
Sha'Carri Wilson. Yeah. He was committed to West Virginia, I think, on signing day, and then out of nowhere, flips the Georgia hat back on.
But he had been committed.
He had been committed, but you know, it seemed like that things had broken down between them, and you know, he was just the most recent one that popped into my mind. So he was the one.
Which one that pops in your head? I got a couple.
I can't think of anybody.
I think one that,
because I knew all were coming. No. I honestly need to look at the roster.
Isaiah McKenzie surprised
I was
going to
say Isaiah McKenzie and maybe Dom Sanders. I feel like that was kind of last second.
Now, I was on the Dom Sanders train, and I was begging for not Georgia, but for anybody to take him. I think he was like a Louisville commit or something.
Yeah, it was last second.
And it was a situation where I'd gone to see him at a 7-on-7. Was it Central Gwinnett that takes on everybody, or Gwinnett versus Georgia 7-on-7? And he just absolutely tore it.
Travis Cirasullo, great choice. Michael Barnett.
Oh.
You remember that one? We got a call about that the night before, and they said, listen, I won't reveal who told me this, but they said, listen, you've never heard this kid being associated with Georgia. He's never talked about Georgia in an interview. He will commit to Georgia in the morning. And we were just...
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Oh, my God.
We were just trying to find anything about the kid. I believe at the time he was a Florida State commit and had been for some time.
Yes, he was.
And I remember, too, seeing the video from it, and he puts the hat on, and everyone goes,
what? Yeah.
Please clap.
Well, I remember calling one of our Florida State guys. He's like, no, man, you're getting trolled.
Oh, here's a good one for you. Mark Lee brought up Ridley.
Riley Ridley.
Yeah, that was kind of out of nowhere.
I mean, he was coming back, and they just dropped him off in campus.
But when I talked to his coach,
never left.
We were able to break the news. We spoke to his coach. He's like,
he did once
because they hadn't decided that they were touring. And I called him. They were walking around campus, and I think I had to give him directions how to get to the date center.
Correct, because the coaches weren't there.
But and he couldn't talk to him.
Correct,
you know, because he's supposed to be going over here, and so I'm talking to him. He's like, yeah, no, they had just finished. They just finished, and they were back at the hotel, and I'm like, well, how'd it go? And he just kept – he's like, oh, this is great. So, but yeah. Right. So, in other words, at least we knew 24 hours in advance, but yeah.
That was a fun one to end on. That was a fun one to – that was a – oh, Marcus Stroud. Good pull there. Yeah, ripping the shirt off. But that was a great question. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Dosta Dog.
Dosta Dog. We appreciate that one. We are.
I do want to say the best comment for the UGA Sports Live. Yeah, we pinned it up. Josh Huffman. He's a member of the UGA Sports site as well. He said, "Wife asked who I'm watching. ... Before I could say anything, she says, "You mean to tell me the dog vent is now live?"
Thankfully, the dog vent is not live, like on air.
Yeah.
That would be totally not safe for work.
Find the thing Dash tweeted earlier about the guy on the board.
Which one?
Let's see.
It was earlier today. Dash tweeted one of our customers was discussing the fact that he was on the board, and his wife said, "Are you still on that board?" He said, "I couldn't talk to her. I was on the vent."
Yeah. I believe he may have even said, "I wasn't listening."
UGASports.com, that started about 20 years ago, and I think the divorce rates have climed steadily ever since we've been doing this.
Hey, yeah, we know good lawyers.
Another question, Josh, you got a good woman on your side. A quick question while Jake's looking that up. Destin Baker, real quick, Damian Pierce or Cook, who's more likely?
Cook.
Yeah.
No doubt. It's very possible Georgia winds up with 2 5-star running back commits.
And
a true thunder lightning situation,
absolutely.
Because – honestly, if you told me Georgia's taking James Cook as a wide receiver, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah,
fine.
Sure.
I mean,
makes total sense.
I mean, a slot guy, you know, who can run with it. they absolutely, because he's very slight.
Yep.
He's not, you know, when you see, you know, Zamir White,
he's the lightning job, to you know, Zamir
they're just
Thunder.
So thick and muscular. But and
it
he's
is
so,
a commentary, too, I mentioned last week. He's the third overall run. I think he's the number three running back in this class. He's a five-star. Last year's class, I don't think he would have been. You know, I think last year when you're talking about Najee Harris,
yeah,
Cam Akers. DeAndre Swift was a four-star last year, yeah. And you know, I would probably choose probably Swift over Cook if I were ranking them.
Well, I mean, go back just a couple of years when you had Elijah Holyfield. He was the number two running back
correct
in the nation, but he was like ranked 103rd
yes
or something.
101, 103, something
yeah
like that.
So,
yeah,
I mean, he's way up there. So, yeah, it can go up and down. But what we saw in Indianapolis, you know, again, they're in shorts and T-shirts, but James Cook makes plays.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And he did get in trouble at Georgia for talking too much smack. So he's in a 7-on-7. And, you know, you're not supposed to taunt. You're supposed to act like you've been there before. But sometimes these guys, they get a little heated. And one of the refs actually got mad at him for scoring a touchdown, either pointing at a guy or saying something. And they're like, all right, you're done. They kicked him out of the 7-on-7.
I'm sure Brian Gant was running over there like, no.
Well, not only Brian. I mean, you got to think the Georgia coach is like, look, we're hosting a 7-on-7.
Yeah, we want this kid to play.
And you're kicking our five-star running back target out of the 7-on-7.
It's your last check, yeah, ref.
I know who's getting kicked out of the next one.
Yeah, so, yeah, exactly.
Here's your paycheck, asshole. Get out of here.
Thanks a lot.
I did find the tweet from Dash, and this is a great one. It's the title of this one on the dog vent was "It Finally Happened," and this guy comes in, Dubs GA. He says, "My wife asked, how many days do you think you could go without reading that Georgia blog? Do you think you could even go a whole day? I would have responded, but I was too busy reading the vent."
And can we end with that?
Yeah, we're going to end with that.
I think so.
Hey, thank you everyone for listening to the UGA Sports Live podcast. We want to thank Champions for hosting us, 11 Live for letting us put it on their page, Cable East for putting up with us, and 365 Game Day where you can go get all your gear. Congratulations to Champions for winning the Best Fried
Absolutely
Chicken Award in Athens. Thanks
Josh
to 11
Collins.
Oh, well earned. Well earned.
I say thanks to 11 Live Sports for all their Emmy Awards and all that good stuff. Check out 365 Game Day for all the gear you need, and be sure to swing by UGASports.com for all the updates. We're only, I think, practice starts either on the 30th or 31st.
It's coming up.
31st, I believe.
So
Dash's practice updates.
So we're going to have updates.
I'm vacationing next week, so maybe you'll probably get some commits.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Anyway, thanks for listening, folks.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.